Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Chloe Cook Griffin. Chloe, you argue that... How you doing? You're saying the closure of gyms will affect a lot of people's mental health, but just their good mood. How does it affect you?
Right, so as you know, midnight tonight we all go into lockdown, and that's the closure of non-essential businesses. So me and like most of my friends, we go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. You know, so when I wake up in the morning, that's what I look forward to do. You know, I have my breakfast, I get ready, go to the gym, and then I'm back for classes online. So that's a big chunk of my week gone now because of the closure of gyms. And I really feel for the mental health and well-being of, like, not just me, of every most people that go to the gym, they will understand, like, how it connects to, like, your emotions and stuff. You can, like, be who you want in that gym, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And you go 4 or 5 times a week?
I do, yeah, for an hour and a half each time.
Well, can you substitute? You know, can you go for a run?
No, see, I understand you can go within 5 kilometres, can't you, and exercise outside. I mean, that's a bit difficult considering the weather in Ireland, but I don't actually run, I do weights, so that's kind of hard.
Okay,
you know,
and
it's €1,000, like, who was that for each different machine, you know?
Well, the big difference between the lockdown now and the lockdown in March, April, May to the beginning of June is the weather. And people say swim. It's a hardy heart.
Yeah.
I know people do, but it's a hardy heart that can swim in the sea at this time
of
year.
I would consider it, you know, but it's October, freezing cold, like, and the days are shorter, darker night. Like, it's just, this is going to be horrendous.
And you say, some people haven't got their own rowers. You can get your own kettlebells or whatever, but...
they're all sold out on Argos. I actually tried to carry dumbbells up from Elvries earlier. I was like, I need to do something, like, you know.
Okay, but you're upset about the gym closing. Well, one gym...
I am, yeah.
One gym we're told that's staying open is the Westside Gym in Blanchardstown in Dublin. Simon and Murphy. Hey. Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Are you mad, Simon? You're going to be lacerated.
Yeah, so I believe.
Generally, you're breaking the regulations. Why have you decided to stay open?
To be honest with you, to re-emphasize the point that young lady just made, it's about people's mental health and the effect that going to the gym and physical exercise actually has positively, as a positive influence in their daily lives. And a lot of people do function around the gym, like that young girl was saying, that her day is planned around it. And the response that we've had from our members is absolutely overwhelmingly positive. So we've decided...
Well, are they going to, what time do you open at tomorrow normally?
5 o'clock.
5, wow.
Yeah.
Do you think people will turn up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, even though it's level 5 o'clock?
I absolutely do. Yeah, as I said, I'm being 100% genuine, is that the response that we've had from our members, close friends, community, etc., it's 95% positive. Of course, there's always going to be people who see things a different way, and I totally understand that. I'm not here trying to convince anybody or convert anybody. I just genuinely believe that following what's happened in the UK, where gyms in Manchester and Liverpool have fought their corner on a united front and been able to be deemed as an essential service, I think that now is the time for us to follow suit.
Can I just say, I completely agree, and there's a petition that I've signed, I know there's loads, and it has nearly 40,000 signatures. So, you know, the people want that. I just feel like we're not being heard. We need to shout a bit louder.
Yeah, but one of the things, and I say this to both of you, Chloe and Simon, like Philip Nolan of Neffet, and he does the stats, and he breaks down the stats. He's from Maynooth, National University of Ireland. But he says the problem is people mixing. That's what we know. People mixing.
How come GAA is still allowed to continue?
Well, maybe that's it. Well, it's senior inter-county matches.
But that's hard.
But I mean, that
there,
doesn't
you know?
That doesn't render those people immune to the situation. And I, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be interested in arguing the point about one business or one community or et cetera, another. The research is there. If people want to see statistics, research has been done in regards to physical exercise, going to the gym, etc., and the positive influence that it has on people's mental health issues.
Of course,
And that's where we're coming from. I'm not looking to just fly in the face and disregard a 50-person maximum and you know, business as usual, you know, albeit, you know, the end of 2019 type business. I'm not looking to do that. I'm looking to enforce every possible restriction that there can be strict with heads that are coming into the gym. And, you know, we provide our everybody is provided with their own bottle of sanitizer as they walk into the gym, and that they return it on the way out. They're also enforced that they bring their own wipes, towels, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We're trying to do our part, but yeah. it's the blanket.
Have you got any, since you posted this, that you are staying open, Simon, you are going to break level five, so to speak, have you got any negative reaction?
Oh, absolutely. But
we'll try and summarise it. What are they saying? You're being irresponsible.
That basically what makes us special, what you know, what kind of gives us the right over anyone else, et cetera, is kind of, it seems to be most people's argument that they put forward. However, we have been contacted and thankfully given permission to share messages that we've received from frontline workers, i.e. nurses and doctors, who have actually looked to see can they possibly come over to use the gym. So you're getting both sides of it. But as I said, it would put me in a far more difficult position than I'm actually in if the support wasn't so overwhelmingly positive. If I was met with, you know, absolute anarchy,
Like, there was one very, very distressing video posted yesterday, and I suspect I suspect the person, I'm not going to give her name, but I expect the person that's in it would support you, and some yellow vesters and the people who march down Grafton Streets shouting and spluttering at everyone about the lunacy of wearing masks, completely against any scientific evidence. I suspect you'll get their support. Like those, I say, the same person yesterday on Marion Street stopped a man in way beyond his 70s, a man wearing a mask, and she dragooned him. I don't know whether you saw that video.
I've seen the video. And shocking. I'll respect that and not mention any names.
But that's the type of person you're going to get outside your gym supporting you, Simon.
That's not the type of person that I'm appealing to.
No, not at all.
We're not accepting any new members. We're only supplying our service to our existing members. This is not the only show in town, and we're looking to financially gain from this. We're only accepting memberships from our members that are already pre-existing. So, to me, that's not the type of support I'm looking for. What I'm actually looking for, to be honest with you, is that gym owners out there who are looking to kind of operate behind closed doors and not be up front and say that they're going to open while they're basically going to do that without officially doing so. You've seen what has happened when, you know, businesses stand together and we have a logical argument in terms of being deemed an essential service, and the precedent is there with the UK. Now is the time to do it and be up front and do it and not try and operate, you know, within the margins and like closed doors, et cetera, in my opinion.
Okay, Philly
McMahon. Couldn't agree more with that.
Okay, let me go to Philly McMahon. 51551, my chance. Philly McMahon, Dublin, you all know I'm 7. Is it 7 All-Irelands or this? There many All-Irelands, Philly? I get mixed up.
We talk about that another day.
Okay. Philly, you're involved in gyms. What do you think?
I suppose what I'm hearing from the last couple of weeks around gyms being essential is that, I suppose it's been a little bit of scaremongering amongst the society, in that as soon as you bring up a topic of an industry that should be, I suppose, an essential service, then it's compared to other industries. I think we need to not be distracted by that and ask the question: is how do we live with this virus, and how do we, if we are going to go to last resort, which is a lockdown, how do we make a person's life as functional as possible? So going to a gym for 1 hour, if an industry impacts societally, if it impacts economically, and it impacts mental and physical health, well then it should be essential.
So I thought you were going to go the other way, in one sense, which is fascinating listening to you, Philly, because you're saying, so other people might say, well, it's only 1 hour, Philly. Could people not go for a walk in the park or go for a jog? Or
If this was in the last lockdown, I would be totally saying that, yes, that is an option that you can.
So what's the difference?
Go for a walk.
The weather?
Well, it's the weather. It's the time of the year. It's getting darker. These are all the problems that people are going to have now training outdoors. And the thing of training in homes, your home is your home, and now people are working at home. So to work at home, to train at home, and then to do your normal lifestyle at home, it's going to impact massively people's mental health.
So you're saying for health, physical, mental, mental health, physical health, and indeed social health as well.
What I'm saying is the government need to come up with a criteria that impacts these three different areas. So if you were to ask, well, why is construction opened? Now, again, I'm not getting into this argument of one being better than the other, because that's what's happening and that's distracting us from the issue. But if you were to say, well, from an economic point of view, that's why construction's opened, or why are off-licence? Well, that's from a health, from a dependency point of view for people that are struggling with alcohol. Well, then ask them.
Well, it was also Philly, for the vast majority of people who take a social drink.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, but I'm not arguing it. I'm arguing that the fitness industry supports those three different areas. It's going to support the economy. It's going to support people socially, because a lot of these gyms that are really going to struggle are the ones that are communities within communities.
Okay, Hayes is it. Dr. Amory, say with us, Philly, please. Philly McMahon, Simon Murphy. I'll bring in Ronan Dooney in a sec. And I've Ronan Lee as well, I think. And Dr. Amory Hayes. Amory, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're listening to this debate. What do you think?
Yeah, I am. And I have huge sympathy for everyone listening to people. But I suppose I felt that we have to give another side of this. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see significant increase in hospitalizations. We are seeing very significant community transmission, and we know that our contact tracing has in ways broken down, because unfortunately our public health units haven't been equipped with the staff over the last number of months to deal with this. And unfortunately, gyms are a really high risk environment. If someone is infected, and we know that a lot of people who are infected don't have symptoms, they can secrete virus in the sweat that engaged in exercise. You know that when you're sweating, when you're breathing heavily, you're more likely to excrete more virus. And, you know, it's just that type of environment where it is high risk. And I understand that people are doing a brilliant, amazing job. Mm-hmm. They are cleaning equipment. They are doing the very best that they can. But I suppose in the context of such high levels of community transmission, and we know that our hospital infrastructure isn't capable of dealing with these high levels of this, and that I suppose our goal in healthcare is to try and keep all the other services operating, keep cancer service operating, keep the outpatients operating, look after all the other non-COVID issues. And the only way we can do that is by getting the virus levels down. And I think we just need to really, as much as we can, try and do that. And I'm so sorry, and I feel so terrible for people, for their businesses, for people's mental health. But if we can try and convert things to online, or people do things at home, if people can do it in that way instead of going to gyms, because I do really think it is a high-risk environment.
Simon, what do you think of that? Sweat, no matter people together, no matter what you do, it's high risk, and we need.
I think that the lady spoke very articulately, and I 100% agree with a lot of what she has to say. I she's obviously a healthcare professional and can offer an in-depth kind of analysis of it that probably I'm not equipped to do. However, the data from what I've been told, and I would like to be corrected if seen otherwise, that the transmission case rate in gyms, to my knowledge, is extremely low, and that to me is something that I'm open to correction on. But if you have that data, I'd happily look at it.
Well, why not? Well, Simon, you say you don't know the data. I don't know if anyone does know the exact data for gyms, but if in doubt, leave it out.
I disagree, in the sense that I know the data in terms of the positive impact that we have on people's lives in terms of their mental health. So on that basis, I mean, I would not be interested in getting into a statistical argument, because
you're still opening at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
Okay, 100%. Ronan Dooney, stay there. 51551, level 51551, opening at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning is the Westside Gym. For members only, by the way, no new members. Ronan Dooney, you're listening to this debate. Go ahead, Ronan.
Yeah, well, your previous caller, Anne-Marie, spoke complete sense there. This is all about the health service, people's health, people dying, people in ICU, right? The virus has gotten out of control because too many people in the population have not followed even level 3 guidelines. So we've got this massive contagion spiraling out of control, and this is where we're at. So we have to take these kinds of measures. So just for example, your first caller talking about, oh, it's horrendous, I can't go to the gym, my mental health, right? There are so many ways around that problem.
you go, it's cold, it's dark, fine. You can still go running. You wrap up, you go for your run. You can buy weights, work out in your house. I do an online workout every second day. I go running every other day. I'm totally fit. My head is good and everything's fine. And I'm not spreading the virus. And we can all do that. We can all have our mental health and not spread the virus. People just have to see your bigger picture and go in and look at ICUs and see people struggling for breath. Mm-hmm. It's just not good enough at this point. It's gotten too serious.
And what do you think of Simon saying, come hell or high water, he's opening at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, the gym?
Well, I assume he, in breaking the law, the police can shut him down. I mean, that's just reckless. We can't take the law into our own hands. Because by doing that, we look what's happening to the health service, and things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. The health service will be overrun, the economy will be completely destroyed, and like there will be complete societal break. That's where this is going if people continue to ignore. And there's a simple solution. Like, it's so simple. If we stop spreading the virus, if we just do the simple right thing.
Stop
like,
mixing.
It's possible to go for a pint, go for a meal responsibly, and not spread the virus. But that could be happening today. But too many people are just not following guidelines. They're just behaving as a business as usual, and so the virus is spread. So we're getting into this situation where people are panicking, society is breaking down, and it could all be avoided. Like, obviously, when they get a vaccine, they get antivirals, that will kind of sort it, but we don't know when that is. Okay. In the meantime, if everybody literally follows the letter of the law, takes responsibility, stops blaming the government and everybody else for things that are going on, and does that, we have to solve this, and we can right now. But there's too many people who won't listen to advice, who think there's conspiracy theories, and they just do their own thing. And this guy, I know he's out of business, we sympathize, it's tough. I'm a musician, I'm not going to work for another year, if I'm lucky. But I'm sucking it up because we have no choice. I know too many people who are sick, have weird long-term after effects from getting the virus. This is serious. And people have to stop playing political and journalistic games. RTE are actually guilty of a lot of crime involved in it. Well, Claire Byrne's behaviour recently has been disgraceful.
No, hang on.
I know I'm going off on the tangent, but it's...
If you're having a go at RTE, don't have a go at individuals, but have...
Whoever makes it...
Were you talking about the programme or the individuals? What?
No, well, I'm talking about her interview with Bradshaw and then her subsequent behaviour every day on the radio since then.
Okay, well, you can. I listen to Claire every day, I haven't found that. But by the way, your interview with the Tony, she didn't, and no one could. She didn't put words into his mouth.
No, but she made accusations. She created this narrative of a massive rift between which was totally unhelpful, Joe. It helped nobody.
Okay,
it distracted from the important.
Okay, Ronan, I'm not going to be boxed into a corner. Please don't. Ronan, you can check me seriously. But in terms of creating a rift, and I don't want to go over all things, and we all have hard necks.
No, we need to move on. That's my point.
Ronan, my point is that it was Leo Varadkar said that the CMO and Neffet went ahead of themselves. They hadn't thought it through. He said that. Claiborne, he wasn't sitting, he wasn't a ventriloquist dummy. He said that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
of course
that's
he
that's
did. That. And he was
now,
wrong.
Neffet did go ahead of themselves, did they?
Two days previously, they were happy at level two.
Claire did his job as an interviewer. Now, I want to give you...
No,
you're entitled to... That's your opinion. Now, you also said RTE. You're entitled to... It's one of the few organisations where you want to criticise RTE. Go ahead.
Of course. Pretty much every news bulletin.
Yeah.
Most of the journalists.
Yeah.
At every opportunity are critical and focus on the negative angle of every decision the government makes. So, for example, just as one classic example, before that interview with Varadkar, before the government decided not to go...
This was two and a half weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
A different world at this stage, the way things are moving.
Let me just make the point.
Of course I will, yeah.
So, Claire Byrne and RTE in general were openly critical of the government for not going to level five, right? Previously to that, where at every NESTED recommendation, the government kind of had followed to the letter of the law.
Yeah.
The narrative from RTN and Conference says, oh, who's running the country? So you're just going to go follow every recommendation they make.
Well,
so,
okay, but what I'd say to that, Ron, I don't want to, there's no point in me getting into a table tennis match with you. But what I'd say is that from my watching and trying to keep abreast of everything, most RTE bulletins are comprised of correspondents like Fergal Bowers, George Lee, Paul Cunningham, and they're just retailing what they're retelling what they've been just told by NEFED in terms of facts, figures, numbers. Okay, the facts, figures, and numbers are, they don't distort facts, figures, numbers or whatever. So anyway, but you're entitled, as I say, you're entitled to make your criticisms of RTE, me or anyone else.
Reporters report, generally that's okay, but it's the journalists, it's the people in the talk shows, like the likes of, you know, Brendan O'Connor.
Okay, give everyone a name check, Ronan.
But these are the people I'm listening to every day on the radio.
Okay.
They're using COVID as a kind of a business as usual opportunity to attack government decisions.
Well,
to criticise, and
Ronan, you've had about 9 minutes now, which is more than most RT reporters get on the 6-1.
No, I appreciate that.
But anyway, Ronan, come out here. No, don't come out here. Don't come out here. But if you are driving, no, I don't mean that. I mean in terms of 5K. If you are driving by RTE someday, soon, just look. They're here most days.
Yeah.
And they stand outside on the overpass, and they've really expensive banners. And you know what it is? You know what they write on the banners? RTE fake news, right? RTE government establishment party, RTE mainstream media. And then every now and again, they stampede across the cattle grid bars we have there at the front, and they go over and bang the windows of the reception where the 4 or 5 brilliant receptionists we have have worked non-stop right throughout this pandemic, and they are the human face of this organisation. They bang and start screaming. They're invariably women that do this wonderful job, and they've been doing it for years. But they start, and their line is RTE fake news, MSN, mainstream media, but that's neither here nor there. It's not about RTE, but I do take your point, and thanks for making it. Ronan Lee, Ronan, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Your point, please, Ronan.
No, just the girl rang us there. We're in Junction 6 in Castleknock.
Okay.
We've turned.
Oh, I know. Are you closing or opening?
And well, we're the landlord, so we've 32 businesses here. Two of the businesses, the drive-through Insomnia and the kids' place at the creche, the childcare facility, will remain open. The other 30 will all be closing their doors this evening for the next 6 weeks, unfortunately. And just I hear Ronan there, and he kind of typifies a lot of people, I think, at the moment, who say that we just have to blindly agree and support with NEFED and the government and everything that they say. But the fact of the matter is that this is a shortcoming of the government, that the contact tracing last weekend, 3,000 cases, they got a text on Monday morning to say they have to do their own contact tracing, 7 months into a pandemic where they had 120,000 people volunteer to be on call for Ireland, and they haven't managed to employ contact tracers and the sufficient numbers for the surge that they've been predicting for the last 5 months. So as a result of that, today we've 30 businesses, 200 people out of work because of...
And are they all in the fitness realm, Ronan?
All in fitness, health, beauty. So there's about... there's a number of different gyms. There's dance schools, Irish dancing. There's beauticians, there's hairdressers, there's Grafton barbers. There is a broad range, but it's all in the space of fitness.
Okay. How many people working in all those businesses, Ronan?
About 200, Joe.
And how many people use those businesses every week, insofar as
you can? About 10,000 per week through the door. Now, some of them are the same people coming in, you know, 3 times. But our football camera, 10,000 people.
You see, isn't that the argument that...
But we've one case that we have had reported back to us in the time.
Yeah, but one case. We heard the other day that one case, not in this particular instance, but one case infected, as far as we know, 54, at least 54.
But it didn't, Joe. And that isn't at all factual, because one guy infected 8 people, if you look at the graphic that they used, and those other people went on to infect others. But how else did the virus spread?
Where did it begin?
But it began with one person.
Exactly.
But every case begins with one person.
Yeah, that's the problem with this awful virus, isn't it, Ronald?
Where are the things that should be in place to prevent
this virus? I see. On the one hand, I can. I'm trying to give the other side because of it is the other side, but they're saying that mixing with this virus loves, there's only one way this virus can travel from A to B, and that's in a person.
Okay.
So it loves people mixing.
But would it help if mask wearing was compulsory, the way it is in Italy, that when you step outside your door, you must wear a mask? Would that help?
I presume it would, but would it be...
Why don't they do that, then?
They don't do that.
They don't employ contact tracers. They don't increase ICU capacity. And because of that, we're much nearer the precipice than any other country, much earlier. So the answer is, let's borrow a couple of
million,
lock the country down, and it all would be great. We're all in this together. We've got to knuckle down. Like, it's absolutely crazy that there's 30 businesses shuttering tonight for 6 weeks. Because, and I know Roland will probably get upset at me for this, because of government incompetence, because they haven't managed the resources, the 21 billion euro budget that they have, or the 120,000 volunteers that volunteered to help them. They haven't used those resources. And here we are now facing a 6 week lockdown, potentially level 3 then up to Christmas, and probably another lockdown after Christmas.
Again, I come back to this whole thing. This virus is. And by the way, we're not closer to the edge of the cliff than any other European country.
We are, because we've got less ICU capacity and less critical care capacity because of years of underinvestment by the government in the health service. So that's again a governmental issue. And I know Ronan will get exercised because I'm criticising the government. But who else is to blame for years of underinvestment in the health service, which leads to us having less capacity to deal with critically ill people? I know two people that have COVID, and I know two people that have cancer. The two people who have COVID, thank God, they're fine. The two people who have cancer, both of their treatment patterns have been interrupted because of COVID. Mm. So if something happens to them, is Dr. Tony Holland going to put his hand up and say, well, look, I'm actually partially responsible for that because I insisted that we lock everything down and give all the care capacity that we have over to COVID so that his reputation is intact?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't.
He's the one who's calling the shots. I never voted for Tony Holland, but he's the one who's calling the shots now. We have all these businesses here that we're going to try and support to get them through to the other side of these 6 weeks in whatever way we can, so that none of these people lose their jobs.
Before I take the break, the only thing I would say, Ronan, is Tony Holland. Well, let's not personalise it, but all the staff from the HSE and from NEFID, which is a wider body, and the various other scientific organisations, so to speak, they go in and they talk it out with the government. We had the meetings last Saturday and Sunday for hours on end, and then the government make the decision.
The government make the decision to either go against the advice of the experts
or to calibrate it.
Or not. So if they go against it, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Yeah, but
if Tony Holden is always to take the most conservative position and say lock it down, because they know that
works.
But
if Tony Holden was, as you say, running the country, inter alia, you're saying he's running the country, well, then we would have been in lockdown 3 days. On that Sunday, he came back to work.
His behaviour since the government refused to go to level 5 after he leaked, or one of his colleagues...
No. Hang on, Ronan. You're not going down that road of accusing anyone of a serious offence of leaking government documents. You don't know who leaked it. And you don't know who didn't leak it. So don't mention any names, because it is a very serious offence.
We can say that we don't know who leaked it, but somebody in NEFET leaked the letter, which was that the government should go to level.
But hang on. You can say, logically, we don't know who leaked it, but someone in NEFET leaked it.
But who was privy to the information?
We don't know. It could have been much more than NEFET. Anyway, stay there. Back after this break. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
TJ Reid, Kilkenny, all-star hurler. Kilkenny, good afternoon. TJ in Kilkenny, how are you? You own a gym, don't you? What do you think of what Simon is doing in Dublin with his gym in Westside? He's reopening at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning and ignoring level 5. TJ.
I've only seen that last night myself on Instagram. You know, ourselves in Kilkenny, we are after respecting the guidelines and we're closing this evening at 9 o'clock. Look, it takes great courage, first of all, from Westside Gyms to stay open. It's a difficult decision to make, of course, but for myself and the team at Teacher's Health and Fitness, we have to respect the guidelines to close.
Are you going to stick with them?
We will, of course. I think this whole thing is about respecting the guidelines, and you either do it right or you do it wrong. And that's why we're in a situation at the moment where the government had to make a tough decision. But I totally disagree. We should not be punished for other people's reckless decisions. And that's how I feel at the moment with all businesses in Kilkenny, not just the health and fitness centres. We've been punished for other people's mistakes. And I don't think it's good enough, to be honest. But I've seen gyms in London and up in Northern Ireland. The government are after turning the side of reopening gyms, because we are, without the title, we are a health service. The health and fitness centre, we provide a service to people's well-being, their mental health, their stress, their anxiety. So we are.
But TJ, you could argue that for a shopping centre.
Well, I haven't seen a medical report or scientific evidence that walking through a shopping centre...
Well, for people, shopping and getting out can be therapeutic.
Therapeutic, yes, but look, there's enough evidence to back our stories. Experts will tell you that's
And have you a swimming pool there, TJ?
No swimming pool, no, it's a dry gym. It's a dry gym. It's a 15,000 square feet premises.
Oh, 15,000, that's big, yeah.
It's big enough. So, as I said, we are in a controlled, safe, hygienic environment. We're after, last 2 or 3 months, we're after cleaning the place 100 times a day to make sure our members are safe. And we're after rolling up the sleeves, putting in the hard work. And then all of a sudden, then we're closing without any thought. Especially over the last week, business owners are looking at Facebook and RTE to be told to close, and I think that's not good enough. Business owners going to sleep worrying about how we're going to get the next 100 euros.
TJ, is there an umbrella group for gyms?
They are. We've after getting 40,000 signatures to put towards the government to back ourselves.
But so, you're not the lobby like the Vintners lobby that kept the pubs open for so long.
Like, no, but look, at the end of the day, this is the winter time. This is different during the summer, where the weather was good.
Philly McMahon made that point as well. Yeah, and I know, and people can't go swimming in the sea. Well, they can, but they want to be hardy. They want to be fairly hardy.
It's not safe, so it's not. And we provide a safe environment. We are a health service.
Okay, so TJ, you're saying, I'm trying to paraphrase for people who've just come in. You're saying you admire what Simon is doing in Dublin, keeping his gym open from tomorrow, but you're going to close yours, or the one you're involved in.
I am, and if for 1%, if I can help every other health and fitness centre in Ireland to speak to the government, if there's a split second or a split chance to keep gyms open, I would try and keep it open.
Can you do much online with people Zooming and at home doing their exercise?
Yeah, we are. I've done that for 6 months.
I know.
Joe, so I did, and it's not. Yeah, people, they want to get away from that. That's why a gym is special. People need a distraction. People need an escape course. And that's why leaving your house, leaving your job, you're going into the gym environment to de-stress and to exercise in a safe environment and come home. And people don't like exercising. People don't like working at home. That's why a health and fitness centre is so important to people's well-being.
TJ, I presume you agree with the GAA or the government in that senior inter-county can go ahead.
But thank God. Thank God, Joe, because, you know, as I said, me going hurling training is where I can escape. I can go to the hurling field and train in a safe environment and de-stress. Okay. That's my escape goat. And fair play, as I said, if there's a percent that health and fitness centres can reopen in a safe, controlled environment by the government, I would try my living best to try and stay open, because we have to saying goodbye to members twice again. The members after leaving in presence, cards saying thank you so much over the last 3 months. The effort you have to put in is unbelievable. And so for me, look, I just think it wasn't good enough from the government.
Okay, but you are going to abide by the regulations.
I will. Look, okay. I respect it. I don't like it, but I respect. I will respect it.
Okay, TJ, I just want to bring Margot in as supporting you. Margot, you think gyms are?
I really think whatever organisation that is not necessary and brings people together, as Dr. Anne-Marie pointed out, gyms are a petri dish for the virus. And I'm not talking about the owners or the trainers who work in the gyms. I'm talking about the people who go into the gyms. And just as an aside, I had spinal surgery in the new year and I had to learn to walk again.
Okay.
And one of the things I was to do was to go swimming.
Yeah,
and I
of course,
couldn't,
yeah.
And I couldn't because of the gym situation. And I still won't. So I had to try and make up my own mind, what can I do as a sufferer of depression and anxiety?
Mm.
I said, I have to do something for myself. So I started doing online meditation. And then as my mobility became stronger, I started doing bits of yoga from the TV.
Okay.
And the one thing, I know it is so, so tough for people who have to survive on government handouts during this lockdown. But the gyms, for instance, think they should be an exception. And then we're going to find hairdressers think they should need to be an exception. There was a woman on your call line in yesterday, and she was talking about the products that the hair salons will have to throw away, which is absolutely ridiculous, because I checked all of those chemicals that are used to colour people's hair, dye their roots, they have no expiration date.
Okay, I didn't hear that point, Jesse, myself, but anyway, maybe I missed that point, sorry, I didn't hear about them throwing away hair dye or colouring or whatever. Okay, Margot, thanks indeed. Annette Higgins before the break. Thanks. And Margot, a full recovery, please God, now for your for after that awful situation you went through at Christmas. Annette Higgins, Annette.
Hello, Joe.
The swimming pool is your lifeline.
It is, Joe. I would suffer with fibromyalgia, that aches and pains.
Oh, you poor thing.
It's a debilitating condition, yeah. And I would swim, you know, most weeks, 4 or 5 times a week. And it's the only relief I can get. And, you know, this morning I was devastated leaving the pool. You know, I know I'm going to be in pain for the next 6 weeks. And my choice, I can't go.
Well, I wonder, is your pool attached to a gym? Do you follow me?
No.
I just wonder, because as I said, now I know the whole thing is down to the basic line from Neffet now is that people mixing is a problem. People mixing. But given that so many people say swimming pools are very, very safe. Anyway, can you, is there any pain relief for fibromyalgia?
Well, the swimming is the only relief. Obviously, the other relief is medication.
Yeah,
but for me, it's swimming because aches and pains and the joints and all of that. And I just feel
that... What was your feeling this morning as you were climbing the 4 or 5 steps out of the pool
on
the ladder?
I was absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
I was near in tears because I know what's facing me now. and you know, to be without the pool and the relief that it gives, it sets me up for the day. Now, by afternoon, evening, I will notice my body going back down again. And that level of, I suppose, well-being. And it's an impact on your not just your physical, but your mental health as well and your well-being. So it's just, I just feel that, you know, the powers that be, when they are bringing in these, you know, restrictions, you know, I feel that a pool, they could maybe slot in so many, maybe a whatever, 10, 15 people, over so many hours during the day, keep it safe. The sanitizing and, yeah, and get people, spraying of okay, the changing rooms.
But so I just wonder, does it make it viable? Does it make we swimming pools were long disregarded in Ireland. There wasn't enough of them. Now there's quite a few, thankfully, in leisure centres, but they're usually attached to leisure centres. And would it be worth our while to open a pool, given the cost of heating a pool, which is phenomenal, just for 15 people? And that there's no alternative, cycling, anything. Is there any alternative to that type of releasing your body every day?
I mean, obviously, I go walking most days, but it's not the same as the overall swimming, because if I overdo the exercise, I will really be in a lot of pain. And I have stress at the moment. I have an ongoing with my local council here and flooding around the house, and that's very stressful. And believe me, I found going to the pool really helped to help relieve some of that stress. So I just, the next 6 weeks is just daunting for me and people like me.
The argument is that hopefully the next 6 weeks, if we can get it below 100 a day, will release people like yourself back into the pool, which is so important to you, Annette. Thanks indeed. And I know people with fibromyalgia, it's an awful situation to go through. So I'm thinking of you. Thanks, Annette.
Thanks so much, Joe. Thank you.